O Lord, open my eyes. O Lord, open my eyes. Amen. Turn me. Turn me. Turn me, Lord. Amen. From darkness to light. Yes, from Satan's authority. So really, although none of these words are really from Ephesians, it really matches some of Paul's feeling in Ephesians chapter 1 about things we need to see. And of course, there's a prayer, right, that we would see. And something about the eyes of our heart. So the eyes have a seeing function. So tonight, we just pray that the Lord would cause us all to see wonderful things. I know you're memorizing these words, but sometimes you memorize and you don't see anything. And you can't even remember what you're memorizing, right? I think the brothers tried to memorize, but you can't even, and it's not you, it's me too. It's like you can't even remember what you memorized. Okay, so what's the cure? See something. Yeah, if you see something, you don't have to remember it. Like the Grand Canyon, do you have to try to remember what the Grand Canyon was like? How majestic it was? You just, why? I saw it. So if you see these things, you will really be a different person. And Ephesians is written, it wasn't written in English originally, and I don't read Greek. So in English, it's impossible to understand. I can't imagine what it's like in Greek. If you read the original language, is it more clear? Does anybody read Greek? Is it more understandable if you read it in Greek? Who said that? David? Somebody said that. No? Somebody back there? Does somebody know? So none of us speak Greek? Read Greek? Okay. Well, how about in English? Is it understandable? What's that? The tenth time. Yeah, maybe. Maybe the tenth time. We were memorizing on the way over here with Landria, and I saw something, but it wasn't the tenth time. That's probably thousandth time. I don't know how many times I've tried to memorize Ephesians, and I still forget it. But I have seen something, and when you get into it more, you see more. So don't be frustrated or discouraged this week if it seems like you're just memorizing Greek. It doesn't make any sense to you. Just endeavor. But in your endeavoring, pray. Lord, open my eyes. Cause me to see. I don't want this just to be, what, words? Words on a page. Now they're words in my head. Now they're words I memorized. But I want to see something. So this would be our heart's cry to the Lord, as Lord, open my eyes. I really want to see. But the Lord really has to give us sight, and that's a real mercy from the Lord. So tonight we're on message one, but we're going to come to the outline last of all. So I'm not going to spend probably a lot of time on the outline, but you have it in your book, and I commend it to you for your study and the excerpts there. Maybe tomorrow in your group, this is the message you would read. That would be great. So kind of what I wanted to do, or I felt the Lord kind of leading me to do, was let's just walk through Ephesians chapter 1. You know, this training is going to be on the book of Ephesians. And just like when you go to a park or a botanical garden, there's a trail, and you can see something. If you just walk around and read the signs, even if you don't know anything about plants, you can see something, right? You can see some roses and a Persian iron bush I saw last week. I couldn't describe it to you, but I did see it. At least I read the sign. That's a Persian, I think it was an iron bush or something like that. But anyway, they're out there. And the same way in chapter 1, there's a lot of wonderful things we would like to see. And so hopefully, I kind of use this illustration. You've heard of an open book test before? Okay, this is going to be an open book message. So you need your Bible open. Whether it's physical is the best. On your device, that would be second. But have it open because I may call you to read something. So this is kind of my way to help you stay engaged. Okay? Be ready because I might call on you to read the next portion. So hopefully this will help us all stay awake instead of just me talking the whole time. You'll have your Bible open. You'll be reading. Get your pen out. Hopefully you have a good Bible pen. You should always mark in your Bible. Don't be religious about honoring the Bible in some kind of superstitious way. It's okay to write in your Bible. If you see my Bible, there's writings all over it. Okay, let's come to chapter 1. And first of all, let's read verse 1 together. Yeah, so I wanted us to read the notes here. In Ephesians is a book on the church. And who should help me here? Caleb, you want to help me on Ephesians 1:1, the note there? Do you have notes on your device? Okay, the footnote 1:1. It's a long note concerning the church. So this is a big thing that if you know anything about Ephesians, you would think, oh, it's a book on the church. And that's not wrong. Okay, go ahead. The whole footnote, it's a long footnote. So exercise your spirit with a loud voice. Amen. 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 Actually, that's good right there. So, seven aspects of Christ in the book of Ephesians. So this is kind of even a bonus we're not even really talking about that much in this training, is the aspects of the church, except maybe in later messages. At least in this message, it's not the main point. But there's seven aspects of the church in the book of Ephesians. So let's read two together. How about the sisters? Stand up and read verse 2. Yeah. Grace to you. Amen. Okay, brothers, verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen. Okay, so in this verse, it used blessed twice, but it's in two different directions. Did you notice that? First, it says what? Bless God. Okay, we should do that, right? We should bless God. Because the word blessing here means to speak well of. To speak well of God is to bless God. Okay, but then what does God do? He blesses us. He speaks well concerning you. You speak well concerning Him, He says something good about you. That's really amazing. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Okay, let's read note 6. On verse 3, let's read note 6. And let's, how about pick a sister's row? How about the back row there, sisters? Right there? Y'all read note 6. Y'all can stand up and read that together. Concerning all the blessings. They're going to cover a lot of blessings. Every spiritual blessing is a lot of blessings. Okay, what's the controlling aspect of all the blessings?
All the blessings with which God has blessed us being spiritual, are related to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is not only the channel, but also the reality of God's blessing.
Amen.
In this verse, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all related to the blessing bestowed on
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
God's blessing us is actually His dispensing Himself into us.
Wow. God's blessing is actually His dispensing Himself into us.
Amen.
That impressed me this afternoon when I read that. It's like, this is a real blessing when God dispenses Himself into us. So that's on dispensing. And it involves the whole triune God. You know, there's so much talk about blessing. Even people in the South, they like to say, have a blessed day. Right? Do you ever hear that? Yeah, have a blessed day. How should you respond to that? What? Amen. Bless God. Have a blessed day. Y'all aren't very creative. That's an opportunity. That's like a softball. You should knock that over the fence. When somebody says, have a blessed day, what's your response? Praise the Lord. That's good. Amen. That's the wrong response. That's a strikeout. You totally whiffed on that one. What's that?
May you be blessed with the triune God.
That's good. I like that. May you be blessed with the triune God. That's good. Anyone else?
May God dispense more of Himself into you today.
Amen. There you go. That's right. This is your opportunity to talk about dispensing, right? Because all the blessings are what? Actually His dispensing. So you could tell them, I'm having a blessed day. God is dispensing Himself into me. And they're going to go, like, what are you talking about? And that's okay. But I just hate being rote. You know, just doing the same thing every time. To every person, that's terrible, you know. So when somebody says something to you, that's your opportunity. Get out of the box, right, and speak truth to them. So they say, have a blessed day. What, Dan? Have a blessed day. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, or you too. May God dispense more of Himself into you too today. And they're going too. It's like, what are you talking about? Okay, anyway, we have to learn how to speak the truth, okay? So this helps us. Okay, how about the last row of brothers over there? Brothers, y'all read note 7. I really love this. Here comes a curveball out of this note, but go.
Literally, good speech or utterance, well speaking, fair speech, implying bounty and benefit. God has blessed us with His good, fine, and fair speaking.
Amen.
Every such speaking is a blessing to us.
Amen.
Verses 4 through 14 are an account of such speakings, such blessings. All these blessings are spiritual, in the heavenlies and in Christ.
Amen. Okay, so here's the question, brothers. The word doesn't appear in this note, but what word am I looking for? No, I just said it twice, so that's a big hint.
Well, you're looking for a word that's not in the verse?
Not in the footnote.
Oh, not in the footnote.
Louder.
Word.
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 It's word. How do all the blessings come to us? It's through the word, right? It's through God speaking. If you want to get blessed, get into the word. The more we get into the word, the more we're just blessed. And His words are good words, right? His words are good words. And we're going to go through 10 verses, verses 4 through 14. Maybe that's 11 verses. I'm not good counting. But they're an account of such speakings, such blessings. All the blessings are spiritual in the heavenlies and in Christ. Okay, and this is actually, this really struck me because I never thought about this, that this is the Word. What's going on in this chapter is Word. Okay, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay, what's going on there? Speaking, right? What does God do? He speaks, and what happens? Creation comes into being. How? By God speaking, right? Okay, what if God is silent? Nothing happens. Okay. So then Paul in Corinthians, right? I think it's 2 Corinthians. He says, the God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts. Okay, so Paul starts talking about Genesis, where God is speaking. And then he says, this God, this speaking God, is the one who's shown in our hearts. Okay, how do you think he's shown in your heart? By his speaking, through his word. If no word comes to you, there's no shining in your heart. There's no enlightening. But as soon as the word comes, if you receive it in the proper way, there is light. God says, let there be light. And there is light. It's not a mystery. If you want light, you need to get into the word. And if you want things to happen in your universe, you know, this is kind of the amazing thing about Genesis. You know, it looks like it's talking about creation. Actually, it's talking about you. You're that planet. There is a planet Frank. Okay? You ever heard of this planet? It's called the planet Frank. But you know what the problem with this planet is or was? It was in darkness. It was underwater. That's not a good condition for a planet to be in. Okay, but there's good news. What happens? Yeah, well, first, the Spirit comes. The Spirit comes. And that's even as the Word, right? The Word is Spirit and life. So when the Spirit comes, there's a brooding over this planet Frank, right? And then God says something. Let there be light. And there's light in Frank's universe, on Frank's planet. Isn't that great? From a dead planet, now you're a living planet, and things start to grow there, right? Things come into existence, land, and the herbs, and the grass, and the fish, and the cattle, and the birds, and eventually, you'll be a man. There'll be a man on your planet. But how does that happen? A lot of speaking, a lot of words, okay? So we're about to get into a lot of words, a lot of God speaking. Okay, so let's also read 9. Note 9. How about the sisters row back here, the back row here, sisters? Read 3:9. This is really a crucial note here.
Christ is the virtue, the instrument, and the sphere in which God has blessed us. Outside of Christ, apart from Christ, God has nothing to do with us, but in Christ he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly.
Amen. Okay, so when someone says, have a blessed day, where do you have to be? In Christ. If you're not in Christ, there's no blessing. This is not a blessed day. So you could ask them, are you in Christ? Actually, that's probably not a good question. Yeah, he just missed it. You got to learn how to do it. But it's to a lot of practice. What's that?
Because
I'm in Christ. Yes. I'm blessed because I'm in Christ. Very good. I like that, Bobby. That's good. So Christ. It's amazing, just this little word in. And when we were memorizing with Leandria, there was really a problem remembering this phrase, in Christ. We would go, this is verse 9, right? I think we'll have another in here. Or was it, yeah, to head up all things, that's where we kept stopping. To head up all things, to head up all things, to head up all things, to head up all things. Don't forget the in Christ. They don't get headed up except in Christ. And if you read through here, it's like almost every verse has an end, or two ends, or maybe three ends. There's a lot of ends. Take care of the ends. And you're memorizing, enjoy the ends. What are the ends mean? The ends mean virtue, instrument, and sphere. It's like apart from the end, nothing happens. Nothing happens to you. Okay, let's go on to, we're going to read a long section here. Verse 4 through verse 14. So how about we'll just alternate. Start with verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. And then we'll all stand up together and do 14. Okay, how about that? Okay, verse 4. Stand up when you read it. Yeah.
Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love.
Amen.
Predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
To the praise of the glory of his grace.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace.
Amen.
Which he caused to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence.
Amen.
Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself.
Amen.
The things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him.
In whom
also we were designated as an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will.
Amen. In Christ, in whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. All together, who is the pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of the acquired possession to the praise of his glory. Awesome. Okay, we want to go back to verse 4 and note 1. I'll read a note to you here after verse 3. Verses 4 through 14 present us a list. Okay, we're going to have a list. A list of all the spiritual blessings with which God has blessed us. So verse 3 told us he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So what is that list? So it begins with his choosing us in eternity. So he chose us, right? Even as he chose us. He choosing us in eternity and reaching us to the producing of the body of Christ. Oh, reaching to the producing of the body of Christ to express himself for eternity. So we're on to expression here. Hence, God's choosing is the first blessing that he bestowed on us. He chose you. You're blessed. I am blessed. He chose me. Have a blessed day. Yes, I am. He chose me. I like that. He chose me. I am blessed. His choosing is his selection. From among numberless people, he selected us. Wow, how many people? How many people? Right? I was thinking about this. You know, even if we were all from UGA, this isn't a big number in this room. Right? It'd still be a small number compared to how many people that are out there. You are blessed. I am blessed. I am chosen from among numberless people. He selected us. And this he did in Christ. So it's not that you're something. It's Christ is something. So when you're in Christ, you're blessed. Christ was the sphere in which we were selected by God. Outside of Christ, we are not God's choice. I like that. Outside of Christ, we are not. You're not God's choice outside of Christ. He only wants Christ. So we need to be in Christ. Okay, how about on three? Note three on four. Another brother's group. How about Sam, your little row there, and the ones behind you? Note three, holy. He chose us to be holy.
Holy means not only sanctified, separated unto God, but also different, distinct from everything that is common.
Amen.
Only God is different, distinct from all things. Hence, he is holy. Holiness is his nature. He chose us that we should be holy.
Amen.
He makes us holy by imparting himself, the Holy One, into our being, that our whole being may be permeated and saturated with his holy nature.
Amen.
For us, God's chosen ones, to be holy is to partake of God's divine nature.
Amen.
And to have our whole being permeated with God himself. This is different from your sinless perfection or sinless purity. This makes our being holy in God's nature and character, just like God himself.
Amen. Just like God himself. This is really big because this is a big correction to a concept about being holy. You know, depending on your background, you may have a concept about being holy. And what is it to be holy? And how you get there. Right? Everyone knows we should be holy. But how do you get there? How do you get there, Frank? You start out not holy. How do you become holy? Following the Lord. Yeah, that's one way. It's in the note. This is an open book. This is an open book message. We become holy by him imparting himself. Okay, so being holy is not trying to be holy. Okay? Being holy is not by changing your clothes, wearing all black, or wearing gray, or dark blue, or a hat, or riding around in a carriage instead of a car, or not having electricity in your house. None of those things make you holy. They make you different, but not holy. Okay, we don't want to be different. We want to be holy,
amen.
Right? We want to be holy. So if we want to be holy, what do we need to do? We need to partake of God's nature. We need to allow him to impart the Holy One into us. Because actually, if you think about it, can you be holy? There's no way. So you try to be holy, you're just faking it. Because you're not holy. I don't care what you're wearing. Even you're wearing a fish hat, you're not holy. And a white robe. And you got a Pope mobile. If you're not partaking of the divine nature, you're not holy. Even if they call you holiness. That's just a joke. And I'm just talking in theory. Maybe he's got God inside of him, so he is holy. But if you don't have God inside of you, you're not holy. It doesn't matter what you wear, what you do, or what you don't do, or what you drink, or what you don't drink, or what you eat, what you don't drink. So you should tell some people that really believe you shouldn't eat this, that doesn't make you holy. Whether you eat it or you don't eat it. I'm not saying you should eat it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't eat it. But I am saying, you better get God into your, if you want to be holy. It's all dependent on God. God makes us holy. Because I was stuck there for a long time. I became a Christian when I was a young boy, and I wanted to be holy, and I knew Christians were supposed to be holy, so I tried to be holy. How long does it last? Not long. Did you try that? Bobby probably tried that too. Okay, what did you do to try to be holy? Anything? Do you remember doing anything to try to be holy? You had the aspiration, right? Yeah, I want to be holy. But you knew you're not holy, right? Or you figured it out pretty quick. Then what did you do? Yeah, that's the same thing. I got depressed. You despair. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm not really saved, right? Aren't saved people holy? Right? Are you holy? Well, I mean, pretend like we're 8 years old, you know? It's like, I'm not holy. I just stole that little toy car from that house we visited, you know? And I knew I shouldn't, but I did. But you're saved. Aren't you a Christian? Do Christians steal? Now you got a problem. So my conclusion was I'm not saved. That was my conclusion. If a Christian is holy and I'm not holy, then I must not be a Christian. Right? It's logical, according to my logic. And that lasted for years. How long did it last? 6 to 8 years. Yeah, that's a short time. Mine lasted longer than that. Miserable. Just miserable. Okay, but the imparting of God is very enjoyable. Get God into you. This is different. I like the last two couple sentences. This is different from mere sinless perfection. Right? So even if you were sinlessly perfect, it's not holy. Even if you were sinlessly pure, still not holy. What makes us holy? God's nature, God's character, God imparting himself into us. He wants us to be just like himself. Amen.
Amen.
Are you partaking? Amen. Good. Okay, let's go on to the next one. 4:4. This is without blemish. This is a two-part blessing. He chose us to be holy and without blemish. Okay, how about Junior wrote? Note 4. This is an awesome note. Because when you go look at diamonds, they're going to talk to you about blemishes. So that's an opportunity to tell them about something without blemish. Okay, go ahead.
A blemish is like a foreign particle in a precious gem.
Yep, there you go. Do you know what a blemish is? You can tell them. They already know, but you know a blemish is a foreign particle in a precious gem? Okay, go ahead. That's your intro.
God's chosen one should be saturated with only God himself, having no foreign particles.
Amen! Having no foreign particles. Brother Sam, no foreign particles. Go ahead.
Such as the fallen natural human element. The flesh, the self, or worldly things.
Those are all foreign elements. Go ahead.
This is to be without blemish, without any mixture, without any element other than God's holy nature.
Amen.
The church, after being thoroughly washed by the water in the Word, will be sanctified in such a way.
So here again, how are you going to get rid of your blemishes?
Water in the Word.
Water in the Word, right? Again, we come back to the Word. If you want to be without blemish, it takes water. Water in the Word. And that's in Ephesians 5. Okay, this is an amazing revelation. Okay, what's this phrase here? Holy and without blemish. Where does that appear in Ephesians? In chapter 5. Did you ever link chapter 1 with chapter 5? That God chose you. First he says us, right? Y'all can sit down. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. And then he wants this bride in Ephesians chapter 5 to be holy and without blemish. Okay, it's the same thing. So you have to see God's heart, that there was a she in his heart before the foundation of the world, right? Because he chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. He's actually not thinking about you, Carlos, in a sense. He's thinking about his bride. So he's thinking about you as part of his bride. That's what he's thinking about, right? So he chose us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. His every thought and action were made with her in view. I love that hymn. His every thought and action were made with her in view. So that she was there before the foundation of the world. That's a note in my Bible. It's probably not in your Bible, but I love it. Okay, same as she. Okay, so now we're on to love. That's the next one, right? 4:7. Okay, we have to get love. Love is a really critical element here. How about Svetlana, your row there? Love, 4:7. So this is the love. He chose us in love.
Love here refers to the love with which God loves his chosen ones.
Amen.
And his chosen ones love him.
Amen.
It is in this love, in such a love, that God's chosen ones become holy and without blemish before him. First, God loved us. Then this divine love inspires us to love him in return.
Amen.
In such a condition, an atmosphere of love, we are saturated with God to be holy and without blemish, just as he is.
Amen. So in a sense, you know, we can forget about just trying to give up stuff. That's really hard. Have you ever gotten rid of stuff and you bought it again? And then you got rid of it and you bought it again? There was a brother gave a testimony one time about these shirts he bought. And it can really lead to kind of a mental problem, you know, because he felt like, I mean, he had some peace to buy the shirt, I guess. But eventually he had the peace, he couldn't keep the shirt. So he went and put it in the dumpster. But then he came back and then he felt like, that's really wasteful, so you should go get it, you know. So he went and got the shirt back. But no, you can't have the shirt. You know, you need to go throw it away. So that's unusual. But it's very common, right? And it's probably all happened to us more than once. Okay. Why do you think that's happening? What's that? Yeah, you're probably trying to be holy, right? So I'm not saying what you should do. Should you put it in the dumpster? Should you get it out of the dumpster? Should you put it in the dumpster again? But at some point, you need to stop and say, you know what? I just need to love you, Lord. I am not in an atmosphere of love. I'm just on this path to the dumpster, back and forth. I want to get into love. I know you love me. And Lord, I love you. I'm inspired by your love. And I just want to get into this atmosphere. And I just want to get saturated with God to be holy and without blemish, just as he is. Because it's really not about the shirt. Where do we need to get, Ryan? No. In the note. Yes. We need to get in the atmosphere of love. Amen. What a blessing. We're blessed to be in the atmosphere of love. I'm not trying to be holy. I'm not trying to get rid of my foreign particles. I'm just in an atmosphere of love. He loves me. Amen. I love him. Amen. Let's get saturated. Okay, let's go on to verse 5. Let's read 5, and then we'll read a note together. Predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There's no way we're going to finish Ephesians 1. Okay, this is note 2 on sonship. How about Mark Sandlin, you three brothers? Yeah. Sonship is really a precious word. You know, there's a lot of translations out there, but most of them don't use the word sonship. So this, if you want somebody to say, what's great about the recovery version? Sonship. Sonship.
Amen.
Go ahead.
God's marking us out beforehand was to destine us unto sonship. We were predestinated to be sons of God even before we were created. Hence, as God's creatures, we need to be regenerated by him, that we may participate in his life to be his sons.
Amen.
Sonship implies having not only the life, but also the position of a son.
Amen.
God's marked out ones have the life to be his sons, and the position to inherit him.
Amen.
To be made holy, to be sanctified by God by his putting himself into us and then mingling his nature with us
is the process,
the procedure, whereas to be sons of God is the aim, the goal, and is a matter of our being joined to the Son of God and conformed to a particular form or shape, the very image of the firstborn Son of God, that our whole being, including our body, may be sonized by God.
Amen. So have you ever considered that your spirit has been sonized? And your soul is being sonized. And your body will be sonized. Have you ever thought about sonized related to the tripartite man? It's awesome. Because sonship, this is really something. If you look up in a good dictionary, it'll tell you something about this. It's a suffix, right? Sonship.
Amen.
Okay, where do you think ship comes from? Is it a boat? You know, you get a fellowship. You get an internship. What other ships are there? Apprenticeship. Friendship? I like games like this. Ship? Any more ship words? Partnership. There you go. Companionship. Worship. That probably doesn't count. Good try, though. Relationship. There you go. Stewardship. Companionship. Yeah. Some ships. Okay. What do you think ship means? We use it all the time. Kinship, yeah, there you go.
Scholarship.
Scholarship, yeah. But what does it mean? What does ship mean? This is where you need a good dictionary, because you'll never figure it out. Hardship. Yep, that's a good one. Battleship. That's. I know what a battleship is. That's a boat. It comes from the word shape. Don't ask me how. But if you look in the dictionary, that's what it says. Ship shape. Ryan's laughing. Yeah, it implies a shape. So it mentioned it in the footnote. What is sonship? You need the life, but not just the life. You also need the shape. If you don't get the shape, it doesn't really matter that much that you have the life. And this is where most Christians plateau out. They get the life. And this is why people don't like Christians, is they don't have the shape. They're out of shape. they're in the wrong shape. They're in bad shape. So what do we need, Bobby? We need the shape. We need more sunizing. We need more sunizing, not just in our spirit, but in our mind, in your emotion, your will. Eventually your body will be, you'll be shaped up. You'll be in tip-top shape because you'll be in the image of the Son of God. Wow. What a shape. So let's leave our out-of-shapeness and head into sun-shapeness. Wow. Sun-shape. Yes, you're predestined for sun-shape. It's awesome. I love the Bible. The Bible is so amazing. Okay, so we read love, and we're on sonship. Okay, here's a good one. Okay, so we realize if you want to be holy, you need to try harder, right? Okay, if you want to be my son, you need to try really hard. Try harder. You're not there yet. Try harder. You want to be my son, right? Yeah. Say I'm God. You know, you want to be a son of God. Tom, you want to be my son, right? Come on. Try harder. It wouldn't make any sense. Is that the way you become a son? Try harder. Have any sons joined your family, Carlos, by trying harder? No. But how are your sons getting your shape? Yeah, and how are they getting your shape? They're growing. If you want more shape, you need more growing. That life needs to grow. Even with babies. You know, when my baby was born, my wife's baby, our baby, this is a big warning to all the brothers. Maybe the sisters know this, but when they come out, they're not in the right shape. Nobody told me. Did you know that? Yeah, they're not in the right shape. Don't worry, they're not in the right shape. It's okay. It won't last. It will change. It will get better. And they'll look more like you or more like your wife or some combination of the two. But they won't look like an alien for long. But it's scary. It's like, if you didn't know, and they go, Carlos, here's your son. It's kind of awkward. So now you know. Now you know, when they come out, they don't exactly look normal. Okay? It's okay. Because they have the life. And as that life grows, they will take on the right shape. Okay. So it's the same with us Christians. I mean, sometimes we look pretty weird, you know. We're pretty strange creatures. But we have the life. Okay, there's a wonderful praise here. Look at this. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. So all this is being carried out by his grace. It's not carried out by your effort. This is his grace, with which he graced us in the beloved. And so this is the note on 6:2 on glory. Glory, this is a precious definition. Glory is God expressed. That solves a lot of problems. Four words. Glory is God expressed. That's a diamond. That's a diamond definition. The glory of his grace indicates God's grace, which is himself as our enjoyment, expresses him. Did you realize that? Grace expresses him. When we enjoy the grace, there's an expression. When he's our enjoyment, we express him. That's why when you come up here, enjoy the verses. These are wonderful verses. You're not just memorizing words. You're enjoying a person. He wants to be your enjoyment. He wants to be your grace. And if you're enjoying grace, you will express him. There will be a shining. Not just, I know the verses. There'll be a shining, okay? As we receive grace and enjoy God, we have a sense of glory. Wow. Our enjoyment should be glorious. Amen. Okay. So praise, sorry, I missed praise. 6:1, the praise of the glory of God's grace is the result, the issue of sonship. Okay, we're short of time, so I have to keep on going. Okay, oh Lord, verse 7, we need redemption. Amen. We need forgiveness. Amen. Great notes, but we no time to read them. Okay, but I wanted to read verse 8. This was kind of a light to me because you meet people who really think God is stupid because he forgives people so easily. You know, there's a whole religion that they can't accept forgiveness. It's too easy just by taking the blood of Christ. So they really despise that. So if you tell them that, they just despise you because God is not that stupid that he would let you off that easily. You need to do a lot of stuff if you want God to get back into his good feeling. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but if you talk to them, you will find out they don't believe in cheap forgiveness, okay? But you can share with them, God is not stupid, because verse 7 talks about he likes to forgive offenses through his blood. This is according to the riches of his grace. But what does verse 8 say? In all wisdom and prudence. He's not being foolish. He's not being stupid. He knows what he's doing by instituting forgiveness and redemption through his blood. Some people think that just makes it too easy. You know, if God does it like that, everybody's going to get off. They're going to take advantage of it. But actually, this is his wisdom. So you don't need to shy away from it. When somebody brings up that argument, you just need to plow into them. Say, God is not stupid. He's not foolish. His redemption in his blood and the forgiveness of offenses is full of his wisdom and prudence. It's awesome. Amen. Okay, so never shrink back from an argument over the truth. In the right spirit. Amen. Okay, verse 9. Now we're up to the verses we're memorizing. Okay, let's read verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Amen. So we were memorizing this one, right? Y'all all worked on this one? Okay, so who had trouble tonight with their memory verse? Someone that was tested. You had, okay, do you mind standing up? Okay, we're going to learn it. Okay, so both of you? Great, both of you, good. Okay, stand together so I can kind of see you together there. Okay, so we're going to try to see this. Okay, so who needs this made known to them? We do. Yeah, right? Do you need it, Matthew?
Of course.
Yeah, okay, say it.
The verse?
No. What do you need? I need it made known to me.
I can't speak.
Yeah.
I need it made known to me.
Yeah.
Amen.
How about you?
I need it made known to me.
Yeah, me. Amen. Yeah, me too, right? Amen. So who did he make it known to?
Us.
To us. There's two of you, right? Okay, so he made it known to
us.
Who's the us here?
Us.
What? Well, they don't know your name. What's your name?
Josh. Matthew.
And Matthew. So it was made known to Josh and Matthew, right?
Amen.
Do you see it?
Yes.
It was made known to these guys. What was made known? Yeah. So you don't need to make known something that you already know. But if it's a mystery, you need it made known, right? So what do you need made known to you? Molly, what do you need to be made known to you?
The mystery.
The mystery. Yes. So say it. I need
the mystery.
Made known to me. Yes. Amen. Good. Okay. Mystery of what? What's the big mystery in the universe?
His will.
Whose will?
God's will.
God's will. What is God's will?
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. But what does will mean? What does will mean?
His goal.
See, this is a problem. If you don't understand the words, then it's really hard to memorize them. Because it's, you know, it doesn't, we're all in this together, right? So what does will mean? Intention, yeah. Okay. Desire, goal. I'm looking for another word.
Choice.
Purpose. Plan. Good pleasure. What he wants. That's good. I like simple, right? When you're struggling, you need simple. Okay? So what is will? It's just what he wants to do. It's what he wants to do. It's what he wants to do. What does he want to do? No one knows. Why is he doing it? What is he doing? It's a mystery. Right? So what do we need made known to us? The mystery of his will. Okay, the mystery of his will. Okay, so now this is the hard part. Where did his will come from?
Himself.
Yeah, from himself. That's true.
His good pleasure.
Yes. What does that mean? What makes him happy? Yes. I love simple. What makes him happy? Okay, so put it in. Let's come up with a new translation here. Yeah, according to what makes him happy. So why is he doing what he's doing?
To make him happy.
He's happy doing it. He likes to do it. This is what makes him happy. So who's he making this known to, Stephanie? Us! What's he making known? The mystery of his will, which is what he wants to do. This is what he wants. And what is it? Where did that come from? Where did his will come from? From his good pleasure, from what makes him happy. There's something in God that makes him happy. Don't ask why. Right? It's like, why are people playing Pokemon Go? It's like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no why to it. They're just doing it. Okay? So you don't always have to have a reason why. So it makes him happy. It makes him happy. It makes him happy.
Amen.
And so he made a purpose. Where did he purpose? You already answered it.
In himself.
In himself. Okay. Can y'all say the verse now? Maybe I totally failed. But anyway, try it.
Making known to us.
The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure.
Yes. Which he purposed
in himself.
Amen. Good. Keep working on it. Keep working on it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, well, at least we have to get to the next verse, the economy of the fullness of the times. And maybe this is a good point to switch over to the outline. There's a lot of glare in that clock. Yeah, okay. So economy. Let's read the title, which is under the... let's read the title of the whole session. The Revelation of the Mystery, the Economy of God in Ephesians. Okay, so this is what we're going to be talking about this whole week. This is what we want to be made known to us, is His economy. If you want another difference about the recovery version, economy. That's a good one too. Let's read the title, God's Economy. God's Economy, to head up all things in Christ through the church. God's economy is to head up all things in Christ through the church. Okay, so this kind of brings a conclusion of those three things. There was three things there. He chose us to be holy and without blemish before Him in love. He predestinated us to be sons, right? And now there's this matter of heading up all things in Christ through the church. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. To His good pleasure, the triune God has an eternal economy to dispense Himself into His chosen and redeemed people, to make them the same as He is in life and nature, and to make them His duplication that they may express Him. Okay, so we've already talked about the good pleasure, right? So according to what makes God happy? The triune God. Who is the triune God? The Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay, some people say the triune God is not in the Bible. What do you answer to that? What's that? Have you read the Bible? Yeah. He's in my Bible. What would you say, Michael? Why are you talking about the triune God? There's no triune God in the Bible. Where is He? Show me. Yeah, that's not a good answer, though. For tonight, that's not a good answer. He's in Ephesians 1. That's right. Where are we tonight? We're in Ephesians 1. Don't go to a different restaurant. You know, we're in Ephesians 1. You got to order off this menu. He's in Ephesians 1. So where is He in Ephesians 1? Didn't we read the whole chapter? Well, not yet. We didn't finish. But we already read the triune God. Because He's in the first 14 verses. Did you realize that? So whenever you meet somebody who says there's no triune God in the Bible, at least remember Ephesians 1 and show them the triune God. Okay, so there's three phrases, right? This is how you can tell. Verse 6, verse 12, verse 14. There's three phrases that end each section. So you can tell in Paul's thought, he's thinking of three, you know, we don't have three gods, but there's three sections here. And each one ends in the same way, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Okay, so in the first one, who's he talking about? Verse 3, he's talking about the God and Father. He's talking about the Father, okay? And then in verse 7 starts the next section, who's he talking about? Yeah, who has blood? Where's the blood? That's in Christ, right? We have redemption through His blood. Who's that? That's Christ. That's the Son. Right? Is there any way that's not Christ? No. He's talking about Christ. So we've talked about the Father. We've talked about the Son. What do you think the next section is talking about? Yeah. How can you say that? Yeah, it says Holy Spirit. We're not making it up. It's there. The Father is there, the Son is there, and the Spirit is there. But the problem is, the reason why it doesn't look like there's three is because they're one. It's very simple. right? So it's easy to miss. I sympathize with you for not seeing it in the Bible. But now you do. So repent. Which means change your mind. There is a triune God. He's in Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, so what is he doing? He has an economy. Okay, I'm not going to do this. Randy. There you go. That was Michael's suggestion. Okay, Randy, come up here and tell us about economy. You can give him the mic. Yeah, take the mic and come up here and tell us about economy. Assume we don't know anything.
Okay.
But you don't have very long. You've got like a minute. Economy.
Economy.
Yeah, economy.
The economy of God is for God to dispense more of his life into you.
You have a minute. Use the whole minute. Okay. Yeah.
So God is the owner of a very wealthy business, and he is in the business of distributing this into people. Amen. So God has set up a household administration to get more of his life into us.
Amen.
So he hired a business manager named Jesus Christ, and this business manager went through a process to get God's life into a form that could be receivable to us.
Amen.
So this process is the Lord's becoming a human being, living a perfect life, and dying.
Amen.
And when he died, he became the Spirit.
Amen.
And as the Spirit, he's everywhere.
Amen.
And because he's everywhere, he can get into you.
Yes.
And this is God's economy.
Amen. Good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Get that back there.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's very good. Okay. But you know where I would start? That was very good. But the way I would start with yogurt. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do y'all go to grocery stores? Yeah. Where does economy come from? Yeah, economy is a very important word. Economy. Yeah. So you got to tell them economy, God. What are you talking about? I'm a capitalist. Or I'm a communist. All valid economical systems. God? Economy? I'm sure Frank was puzzled, right? The first time you heard economy. It's like, what are they talking about? So, define the word. It's always a good place to start. Oikos. Nomos. Yogurt. So you should just stand there in the grocery store by the yogurt section. And when somebody comes by and is looking at the yogurt, you can ask them, what does this have to do with God? Right, Ryan? Yeah. Do you know this is in the Bible? Yeah. So what does that mean? Yeah, it means house. Or I'm guessing, since they called it a yogurt, what do you think it means? House yogurt? Homemade? Family yogurt? Home style? Down home? I don't know. Down home. Homemade. Okay, anyway, this is the way you do marketing. You just think till you come up with something that sticks. Okay, so oikos. Nomos. I haven't seen Nomos yogurt yet, but That just means law or administration or plan. So God has an eternal economy. And just like, I mean, what do they want to do with that yogurt? It depends where you are. It depends where you are in the chain, right? But the final step is they want you to eat it, right? They want you to eat it. They don't want you just to buy it. I mean, they got their money. I guess they don't care if you let it expire and throw it out. But that's a really waste of the yogurt. You should eat it. Yeah, you probably won't buy more. So they want you to eat it. So what do you think God wants you to do? He wants you to eat. He wants you to eat. So this is the big connection to economy and eating. It's a dispensing into his chosen and redeemed people to make them the same. When you eat him, what happens? You become the same as he is in life and nature. And this makes you his duplication. And when you're his duplication, you express him. Okay, so on my printer at home, you know, I type this into my computer. So it's in my computer, right? I have a Word document. And then I go to the print section. You hit print. You tell how many copies you want it to print. And then what it comes out? Copies. Duplication. Right? Is this the same or is this not the same? It's duplication. So a lot of these things are really not complicated. But when you put it in a big sentence like that, it's like, it's hard to remember. So you really have to see it. God wants to be us to be his duplication. Okay, so we talked really, we've already talked about most of one already. So let's go on to two. Read it together. Yes, so this is a big deal. How many things?
All things.
Where are these things? There you go. Somebody memorized it. Where are the things? The things in the heavens and the things on the earth. In him. Okay, are there any other things? Where would they be? That includes everything, right? The things in the heavens and the things on the earth. Okay, how many things is that?
All.
That's all things. Okay, do you have things? Carlos?
Yes.
Okay. Are they on the earth or are they in the heavens? Mostly on the earth. Do you think they can be headed up in Christ? That's very tentative. Stronger.
Yes,
they can. He can head up all your things. That's amazing. You have to believe. That's why we're believers. Are you a believer?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to believe he can head up all your things. Not just general things, not just somebody else's things, but all your things. Do you have things, Ryan?
Yes.
Do you have things that need to be headed up?
Yes.
Yes. Can he do it?
No.
No, can he do it?
Yes.
Yes. Will he do it?
Yes,
it's going to happen. Why?
Because I'm in him.
Yes, and?
Is this part of all things?
And?
All things are headed up.
And? It's because he decided it. You have to realize this is God's decision. This is not your decision. God is going to head up all things in Christ. You really don't have a say about it. Your say is just maybe when, at the most. When is it going to happen? But it's going to happen. Because this is his eternal economy. To head up all things in Christ through the church. So when we were talking about that in the car, I was very encouraged. Were you encouraged? Yeah, I was encouraged. All my things are going to get headed up in Christ. Okay. But there's another character here, three. There's a character named Satan. What is his goal? Yeah, so let's try it again. Satan's goal is to corrupt creation, to cause confusion, and to cause the universe to become a heap of collapse. So, what we talked about in 2 is one direction. That's right. Everything is being headed up in Christ. Awesome. But in another direction, everything is falling apart in Satan's realm. Right? Okay. But unlike... Sorry, Ryan. Your little spectrum last night was kind of confusing. Because it was clear, but that's not the way you draw spectrums. But I'm going to do the same thing. Because you had fear over here, right? And not motivated over here. So... as you're over here, are you really motivated? Or are you not motivated? I mean, you can't not motivated is over here. So if I'm really motivated, but I'm afraid, and I start getting less afraid, but I'm getting less motivated. I forgot what I'm doing here. But anyway, we have to see God wants to head us up in Christ. Amen. And Satan is trying to cause everything to fall into a heap of collapse. But they can't both happen. Right? They can't both happen. Somebody's got to give at some point. Okay, so this is the one... This is four. We all need to be delivered from the heap of collapse to be headed up in Christ. So you really have to see there's a factor of death that causes collapse. And there's a factor of life that causes heading up. So the same way you don't become holy, you don't become a son, you don't become headed up in Christ by trying to be headed up. Right? Even the Bible doesn't say that's the way. It says we grow up into him who is the head. Right? That's the way to be headed up. We grow up into him who's the head. So, all those things, what's your way out? Growing up. There's only one way to escape. You got to grow up. Did your parents ever tell you that? Yeah. Does it work? Not really. But it does. It doesn't, and it does. Right? If you grow. Because it's a process. Growth is very slow. That's why it seems like it's not working. Right? It seems very slow. So you get frustrated. So are you growing or are you not growing? Are you sure? How do you know? Huh? Okay. Is everybody growing? Are you sure? Is everybody being headed up in Christ? So are you being headed up in Christ? How do you know? How do you know, Brother Tom? How do you know you're being headed up in Christ? You're not in the collapse as much. It's a hard question. Don't ask me. You know? There's some advantages. There's some advantage to be the one asking the question. So whenever people are asking you questions, as soon as possible... you need to become the question asker. That's a big tip in preaching the gospel. Or when people, what's this table about? As soon as possible, you become the question asker. Because it's very awkward being the question answerer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we all need to be delivered. I think the light I got when I asked you that question, there's a little light bulb went on inside of me, was I'm in the church. You know, that's how I know I'm being headed up. I'm with the saints. You know, because everything's being headed up in Christ. Where? In the church. In the body. What's being headed up? The body. Right? The more you're in the body, the more you're being headed up. If you're not in the body, you're probably not being headed up, regardless of how much you might think you're being headed up. You have to be in the body. It's really in the church. And this is a big problem with American Christianity. Are we mostly Americans here? Mostly Americans? Okay. You're at a big disadvantage because you grew up in a certain culture. It's called America. And you probably don't even realize how much an American you are. Because maybe you've never even been to another country. So you've never even really seen another culture, much less stayed there long enough to experience it. Right? And so you may think, culture? I don't have a culture. I'm just an American. Aren't we the best? Isn't this the best system in the world? Don't we have plenty of everything? Liberty and justice for all? Man, you're deceived. You know, we talked about the deceiver last night. Okay, that's one of his deceptions, is to make you think you're the best. That's a big deception. Not that I have anything against America. I'm an American. And I have an even bigger disadvantage because I'm from Texas. That's even a bigger disadvantage. That's the worst of the worst. Because you really think you're something because you're from Texas. Right, Carlos? Oh, so how can you save somebody from Texas? From Texas. That's a hard job. Just as difficult as somebody from Georgia. It's not easy. So we need to be headed up in Christ. Oh Lord, we need the life factor. Let's read B together. I'm using up all the time. Sorry. God's economy is accomplished through the dispensing of the abundant life supply of the triune God as the life factor into all the members of the church, that they may rise up from the death situation and be attached to the body. Wonderful. So there's a wonderful picture in Ezekiel 37. And actually last fall, I had this conversation with a student. It was a really good conversation. And I kind of like to tell you a little bit, because this might even be your situation. He was a very open guy, but I said, you're at a real disadvantage in this conversation. Sometimes I speak very frankly to people. I probably shouldn't. But I just told him, you're at a serious disadvantage in this conversation. Because I know the Bible, and you don't know the Bible. You know, and this was like the rich young ruler guy. I really liked him. So that's why I spoke more strongly to him, because I really liked, for some reason, I really liked him. So I gave him a hard time, because he's a Christian. And he has some reputation that he's a good Christian, but he doesn't read the Bible. He hasn't read the Bible. And so he's talking to somebody like me. I go, you know, I could tell you anything, and you wouldn't know whether it's in the Bible or not. right? Whether I'm interpreting it accurately or inaccurately, it's like, and it would take you a long time to find out, because I know a lot about the Bible. I can talk circles around you about the Bible. So are you at a disadvantage or are you not at a disadvantage? It's like, yeah, you lost. If this is a game, you've already lost. So what should he do? Yeah, as soon as possible, you should start reading the Bible. But the Bible is not a short book, and it's not an easy book. How many times have you read the Bible, Frank? All the way through. From Genesis to Revelation. Sequentially. Yeah. Okay, so you started. You read the New Testament, right? Okay, and you're in the Old Testament. Okay, so the whole thing is zero. Is that right? Yeah, it's okay. He may be read more than you have. And we just met him. When did we meet you? The brothers in Miami, when did they meet you? 3 months ago. He's read the whole New Testament in 3 months. And he started on the Old. I'm pretty sure pretty soon he's going to have one time. Right? It's going to be one time. Which is good. How about you, Michael? How many times have you read the Bible? Twice. I'm guessing you've read it more. How many times have you read the Bible? You haven't finished it yet. Okay. You would be at a disadvantage in this conversation. Okay, how about you? Okay. How about you, Bobby? Sequentially once. Okay. Are any of you happy with how many times you've read the Bible? Okay. So what are you going to do about it? Start reading the Bible. Good. Every day. Get a plan. Make an economy. You need an economy. Because it's really like, I don't know, does anybody do financial advising in here? When should you start building up your... Yeah. As soon as possible. Why? Accumulation. Yeah. What if you're my age and I've never saved any money? Yeah. I get those statements from Social Security. They're not much. Yeah, they're just paper, but they tell me how much they're going to pay me, but it's not hopeful. Okay, that's physical. Spiritual is exactly the same. If you want to be rich, start reading the Bible. Sooner the better. And it's not a lie. Like I said, it's not something you can do a lot tonight. You're not going to catch up tonight. Okay? But you can read a verse. If you've been reading zero verses, start with one. There's a sister, I don't want her to identify herself, but she's pre-read, at least I know, the whole New Testament. She's pre-read the whole New Testament. And I'm not sure her plan. I'm not going to ask her because I don't want her to identify herself. But I doubt that was a lot of verses every day. Probably just a few verses. And she would put a check or some identification that she's pre-read those verses. So how long do you think that took her? Years. Okay. Do you think she's rich or is she not rich? At least she's richer than I am. Because I didn't do that yet. Right? So anyway, but you can't pre-read the whole Bible tonight or this week or this month or even this year. I wouldn't advise it. You know, but just start. Come up with a plan. Isn't that the secret to financial planning? What's the second part of the word? Planning. Come up with a plan. What's that? Yes, yeah. Have a plan and a companion, right? Okay. Sorry. Hopefully this is helpful. Because if you don't read the Bible, what are we talking about being headed up in Christ? I mean, what are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? Practically. You're not headed up in Bible reading yet? That's one thing to be headed up in, right? Is headed up in my Bible reading. Okay, so. Oh, Lord Jesus, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But it is serious. Just like finding out you have no money, that's serious. Right? Finding out you have no financial future, that might be a blessing, you know? But if you want a financial future, that's not good news. And spiritually speaking, if you're not reading the Bible, you're kind of like I was when I was 8 years old. You're really lost. And you're going to be depressed and despair. Gloom and doom. Because all the hope, what is Abraham Lincoln said? All the good that's in the world is in the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said that in 1850, 60 something. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus, the Bible. Okay. And that's just the beginning. You know, that's very elementary. Okay, 5. When the church takes the lead to be headed up in Christ, God has a way to head up all other things. Okay, B. Let's read B. This is hopeful. I haven't been too hopeful, but anyway, this is hopeful. Eventually, the body with Christ as the head will be the universal head over all things. This is actually a crazy point, if you think about it. What is the universal head? Yeah, that's the head with the body. It's not just the head. This is the head with his body. So when the head gets his body, he heads up the whole universe, right? So he is the head already, but the universe is not being headed up. I mean, right? It's not being headed up. To be headed up, we have to take the lead to be headed up. And actually, I have to repent to my sister for my driving over here on Saturday because I was a madman. Honestly speaking. And hopefully I didn't blow by anybody else. I apologize to you too. You just need to be headed up in your driving. And I needed to be headed up in my driving for years. My wife tells me all the time. It doesn't help. But the only way is to grow. You got to grow. You got to be in the light. And eventually you got to repent. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my driving. But there was always, remember this brother talked about eating donuts. You know, he knew he should stop eating donuts. But he couldn't stop eating donuts. So eventually, you know what he prayed? He said, Lord, I'm just a donut eater. I like donuts. I always eat donuts. If presented with a choice, I will eat donuts. Oh, Lord. The non-donut eater has to be dispensed into me. Right? Otherwise, I'm just going to eat donuts. I'm going to tailgate. I'm going to go fast. I'm going to change lanes abruptly. In excess of the speed limit. Why? I'm not headed up in Christ in that area. That's the blunt truth, right? You're not headed up in Christ. And you're here standing in front of everybody telling them to be headed up in Christ. And you're not headed up in Christ. What miserable people we are. But That's outside of Christ. In Christ, we have a glorious future.
Amen.
So, you know, if you're not a Bible reader, you just repent. Lord, I am not a Bible reader. I can't read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. But Lord, you must be that one. If that's what I'm supposed to be doing, you must be that one. I need you dispensed into me. So how about we pray, same way as this morning, we pray by ourselves, just shortly, and then pray with our neighbor, and then we'll have prophesying.